All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the week 1/season preview of Take the Points. We are back after a long off season in which we promised several podcasts and delivered you one.
That wasn't that good.
No, one mediocre podcast was our off season. My name is Tom Zeleznak. I am in Hartford, Connecticut, and I am live via Skype with Dan Partridge and Ryan Spillett in Phoenix, Arizona. Gentlemen, how was your summer?
Hot for the most part. It's Phoenix, but I mean, outside of that, pretty good. Life's pretty good. I'm happy with everything. Looking forward to a football season. Kind of boring after NBA ended. I thought actually the NBA playoffs were pretty unbelievable this year. And after they ended, it's been a long 2 months of Major League Baseball that's unbearable. So really happy for the football season, and it should be a great one. It looks to be a really great college season. I don't know if I've said that in either of the past 3 years, but this time I really mean it. I'm psyched for the season. There's a ton of really good talent out there. A lot of speed, a lot of points this year, a lot of like classic powerhouses with some question marks that could either be huge flops or just like, oh yeah, well, this is what they do. And it's kind of one of those two relationships. So a lot of angles to look at. I have no clue who's going to win the national title. Like, I don't have a strong conviction, and I think that's a good thing. So I'm just excited and so psyched to leave work tomorrow and start watching college football.
So I agree with you. This is probably the best week 1 schedule I can remember in a long time. And a thing that is happening this season, which we're not used to, is teams have scheduled really tough. I mean, there are only a few teams with cupcake schedules early on. We'll get into that in a minute, but I have some bold predictions before we get into the lines this week. But first, Ryan Spillett, say hello to the folks out there.
Hello, Tommy Z. Good to see you guys. Good to be back as a fill-in guest here and there. I'm excited. It's going to be a really fun season. I'm excited for the Big 12, Pac-12 games. We will continue to be the West Coast experts out here for you guys that are listening, and should be fun.
So I figured we would kick things off getting right into college football. For anybody who's new listening, first off, welcome. This podcast is a college football podcast. We talk about analysis and break down the games and all that stuff you hear on other college football podcasts. We also focus heavily on gambling, as we are all degenerate gamblers. And so you'll notice a heavy angle on gambling. And if you've noticed already that I can't speak, it's because I have a 2-week-old baby and I've averaged about 4 hours.
Fantastic.
4 hours of sleep per night for about 2 weeks. I am breaking barriers as to what's humanly possible on no sleep. The thing they don't tell you, we've all had, you know, weeks of work or college or whatever where you just don't sleep a lot. But what you don't realize is you don't sleep for like 6 days and then you sleep for 13 hours. It's a lot different when you never have that catch-up day.
Yeah. I can imagine, man. I feel for you. See if you can catch a nap, you know, maybe early on Saturday during some like really bad Big East matchup. Like just focus in on that for a little bit. I'm wishing you like a 35-minute power nap so you have enough power to make it through that USC-Alabama game.
So Penn State is playing Kent State. They've also lost Hackenberg, so now they're going to score about 4 points a game. So I'm thinking that's a good nap opportunity for me on Saturday afternoon.
Total snoozer.
All right, gentlemen. So let's go over the preseason top 10, and I just want to get your thoughts on if you think these should be the top 10 teams, overrated, underrated teams. Then I have a few others from numbers 11 to 25 we'll ask about. But first, for those who don't know, the preseason top 10 is Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Florida State, LSU at 5, Ohio State, Michigan, Stanford, Tennessee, and then Notre Dame rounds out the top 10. What do you guys think about that?
I think it's a pretty accurate ranking. I have no problem with it. You know, it really is kind of meaningless, but what it is for is it gives you an outline for the season to kind of pay attention to what are marquee matchups in the eyes of people, you know. So a couple things stand out to me in that one is that Alabama-Clemson 1-2, people are already on the assumption that those two are going to play for the national title again. Or sorry, you know, to play for the national title.
It seems like the safest bet if you're making a bet, but anyone who's watched college football knows that the odds of a repeat or even one of the teams getting back, it generally doesn't happen.
I know.
I have some predictions about our playoff teams already, but I'll save that for just a moment. My thought was the two teams that stand out are Michigan and Tennessee. Michigan, I do think, will stay in that top 10 for a while because they have a pretty soft opening schedule. And there's a good chance they could be, I think, like 7 or 8-0 by the time they get into late October. Just based on talent, I do think Michigan is a year away from really being competitive and being like a playoff caliber team. So I guess we'll see how that shakes out. Also, Tennessee, Dan, you have a game update. We're recording on Thursday night. I believe Tennessee is already trailing Appalachian State.
That is correct, Tom.
So I felt like coming in here and making a bold prediction that Tennessee would lose minimum 3 games. But now that we've already got a score and they're down on Appalachian State, that really doesn't seem as bold. I don't think Tennessee is there quite yet. They have potential to get in the New Year's Six, I think. But we're thinking, what did we say earlier today, Dan? 11 a.m. Outback Bowl, January 1st.
11 a.m. Eastern, January 1st. Outback Bowl, Iowa coming into town, play Tennessee. It's going to be great. Big game. It's going to be a big game.
The battle for Tampa.
I'm going to be asleep. It's going to be 9 a.m. on the east, on the west, or in Arizona, wherever the hell we live. And there's no way we're going to be watching that one. But no, seriously, Appalachian State is up early. Okay, I know it's the first quarter. It's 7-0, but just, if you're ranked in the top 10 for the first time in God knows how long, and you're at home, and it's beautiful weather, and it's September, like, and there's that energy in a stadium that holds 110,000 people, how the hell are you losing 7-0? There's no point. Like, even if they get the ball first, they can't score. And if you get the ball, you have to score. Like, it's inexcusable, and it's not a learning experience or any of that bullshit. Butch Jones is an awful coach, and he always has been. I don't know. I just don't understand why he's there. And I feel bad because we have friends who are, you know, Tennessee fans, like hardcore. And then until he's gone, they're screwed. And it'll happen this year when they finish 8-5.
I think a lot of the hype was because they got Bob Shoop, D coordinator of the 7-6 Penn State Nittany Lions.
Anytime that you can bring in a D coordinator who went 7-6 in the Big Ten against those powerhouse offenses, you have to do it.
All right, so let's move along. There are a few other teams in the top 25 that I think are interesting, and we won't really talk about them during the lines, so I just wanted to get your thoughts. And the first, the big story of the entire offseason that we haven't spoken about would be the Baylor Bears. Ugh. I'm going to hand this one off to you, Dan, as the number one Baylor fan on this podcast.
I am not happy about what happened. I mean, obviously, it's they messed up real bad, you know, and Art kind of let them get out of control. And it's like, you know, Texas football, and they were like horrible for so long. And it's one thing for a team to always be like competitive and pretty good, and then they, you know, have incidents and it's bad. But like, they were so bad for so long, and now they're on top, and like, it just, like, no one wanted the like excitement to come to an end, so they couldn't reel these guys in, and they couldn't, you know, avoid character issues when recruiting and things like that. And it just got out of control, and kind of like SMU, you know, in the 80s, it's very similar. Now they have a whole new program, you know, they have a new coach. Now they have a player who just, on Snapchat hitting his animal with a belt. So he's out three games. I mean, it's just a mess, and I feel awful. Like, they were so fun for the last 5 years. It gave us so many great gambling moments with overs and comebacks and RG3 and all these crazy, like, you know, Corey Coleman with, like, 12 touchdowns on, like, September 17th and, like, crazy numbers. And it sucks it comes to an end. And, you know, it seemed like Oregon kind of came to an end for us last year, and now it's Baylor this year. So I'm just kind of moving on. I'm a free agent. I'm looking to be courted. I'm looking at you, Auburn Tigers. I would love to be an Auburn fan, but I'm tired of you guys like giving up 50 points a game. Like I can't do it yet. But
Well, we'll get to the Auburn Tigers later. I guess, nobody is going to come on this show at least and defend what happened at Baylor. It's definitely the worst scandal since the Penn State one. But I guess my question for both of you, and Spillett, you can chime in here, is the program over or do you think they have a chance? I mean, my personal feeling is that they still have some talent for this year, and that I think you'll still see a competitive Baylor early this season for about the first 8 to 9 weeks. I think you're going to see a late collapse when they have to play better teams at the end of the schedule. And I think this will be the beginning of the decline of the Baylor program. I don't think you'll ever see them how they were the last few years. But I would love for someone to disagree with me.
Me too.
I'm not going to disagree, but I'm going to add another angle. The team has a chance to come back. It's not the football program that needs to be rebuilt. It's the school. The school was the ones that were hiding in and looking the other way just as much. And a lot of the top brass at the school got axed too. So until they hire a new leadership, I don't know what direction they're going to take this program. Are they going to take the school back to its Baptist roots and not devote a lot of money and then it's over? But if they bring in new leadership who understand the importance of Texas football, then they could bring it back because I still think that the campus is beautiful, the education is excellent, and it's Texas. The recruiting base is absurd. So it all depends on who they hire at the college and what direction they take it. I really think it's out of the athletic department's hands.
All right, well, we'll get into Baylor much more throughout the season. I guess let's leave it there for now. A couple other teams I want to mention before we get into lines. Florida. Florida stood out to me. They're ranked 25th. They were, in my opinion, one of the top five and maybe even one of the top three teams last year before the bullshit Will Grier suspension for, like, I don't know, no-dos or Tylenol or whatever he was taking. It was completely bullshit, and they took a team that was very good, maybe even a playoff caliber team, and totally derailed the season. I mean, Treyon Harris was just not a very good quarterback. This year, they have much of that same talent, the same coach in his second year now, same mentality, and they have Luke Del Rio at QB. I don't know if he's good or not, but he's definitely got the,
Name.
football bloodline, right?
Yeah.
So if he can produce even, I would say, above average results, I'm looking at Florida as like a New Year's Six team, and coming in ranked 25th, I think there's some value. Also, I looked at their schedule. So I looked at everyone's schedule of the whole top 25 throughout the last week, and I really think with the tough scheduling that a lot of teams have done this year, if you even have like a decent or easy schedule, you're really set up for success. Florida, by the standards of the SEC, has a pretty good schedule. They have no Alabama. They really have five tough games out of their 12. I think that's pretty manageable, and I think you could see a Florida team with 9, maybe even 10 wins this season, depending on that QB play. The other team from the SEC East that I think I'll be watching this year is Georgia. Georgia has the same talent they've always had, but they've lost one key untalented person, which is Mark Richt, foe of the Take the Points podcast. They also have no Alabama on the schedule. I know it's Kirby Smart's first year, but Dan, do you think the no Richt era could get off to a bang?
Of course, and same thing for Florida. There's just these teams are loaded. Look at these NFL teams. This is where all these freaking players come from. So it's just a matter of like lining up injuries and off the field problems and idiot coaches. Like if you can avoid those three things, like you can win a national title. Like Nick Saban's like, okay, no one get arrested. We got the best players. We just got to show up and wait for the other teams to screw up. Like but they're all equally talented. Like, people think like Alabama's got the most talent ever. Like, yes, they're super talented, don't get me wrong, but they're
They
not.
do, and they also have the depth. Georgia and Florida, I don't think, can match their depth now, but just in those main spots.
I think they can. Like, those teams are just as stacked as Alabama. I really think so. But that's just me.
Well, I'm looking for an immediate improvement, even if they're not, 10-3 and ranked number nine like Georgia was every year under Mark Richt. I think they're finally in a position to actually, compete for a national title within the next 3 or 5 years, which puts them in a class that Mark Richt could never actually get them to.
Absolutely, 100%. There's
So those are my two sleeper teams in the SEC, Florida and Georgia. My one other sleeper team is the Oregon Ducks. And before you laugh at me, they have three easy games in September. They also play at Nebraska week 3. I don't think Nebraska is quite as good as people think. So I think you're looking at a 4-0 Oregon team, confident going in to take on the two Washington teams. I think both winnable games. There's a possibility that if they play well in Washington, their schedule is backloaded, so they could win like 7 or 8 games out of their first 8 or 9, and they could get a lot of confidence. And by the time they play like USC, Stanford, this could be a confident, well-developed team that is, almost as good as they were back in the Mariota days. There are things that have to fall into place. I know they have injuries on the O-line. Royce Freeman has to become like the number one guy without as much help, and their quarterback has to play well. Nobody's really seen him. So there are things to fall into place, but I would not sleep on the Oregon Ducks just because they had a slightly down year.
Totally agree. I think Oregon has a really good chance to be a sleeper too.
They were pretty good last year when they were healthy. They just weren't healthy that often.
Vernon Adams was actually like really good, but he missed, 7 games, and then he got hurt in that crazy bowl game. They're up 31-0, rolling on TCU. They're about to win, whatever. And it was, I mean, he got hurt, and they lost the game up 31-0. That tells you how important the quarterback is this Oregon offense. I mean, they got to read every play. They got to hit a guy in stride. It's all timing. It's all in the quarterback. If you don't have an elite quarterback, forget it. I mean, that's why Marcus Mariota was so perfect there. And who was the clown who was way back today who transferred? Mazzoli?
Mazzoli.
Jeremiah Mazzoli? He was not good.
You're going deep.
That's what we do here on Take the Points. We teach you the history of why to bet on or against teams.
See, Oregon never really had an elite quarterback besides Mariota. They had a bunch of guys who were pretty decent, and they managed a lot of success with those guys. So.
Thomas was elite at the college level.
Aaron Thomas was good, but then he had to go pro because his family was broke and he got like $700,000 and was out of football.
He blew his ACL when he was the leading candidate, leading Heisman contender. He blew his ACL, and instead of going back to college for another year, he had to go pro because his family had to spend all that money for his surgeries and rehabs and all that.
Shout out Darren Thomas.
All right, I apologize to Darren Thomas.
There you go.
He's going to go in our Danny Werfel Hall of Fame of great college guys who we wish were better in the NFL.
He was really good. That offense was humming with him. LaMichael James, right? That team was dirty. I'm going to pull up some YouTube footage after this podcast is over.
All right, Dan, this one's for you. The last team I'd like to discuss is your sleeper from last year, which they ended up doing pretty well. I want to know if you're picking them again, is the Oklahoma State Cowboys.
Bang, bang, what's the hang? Of course. Easier schedule knowing that one of their super hard teams now is missing their head coach, Baylor. And Oklahoma's been known to be a choke artist, and hell, it's a in-state rivalry. So that conference is wide open, so why not?
Yeah, well, speaking of schedules, so Oklahoma State has their last 2 games, the toughest of the year. They have TCU and OU to end the year. They have Baylor in week 4. If they can win that Baylor game, I think they could be like 9-1, 10-0, but by the time they get to TCU, Oklahoma.
That's what they do every year, and they finish with 10, 11, 12, 13 wins. They're a way underrated program. We've kind of taken Oklahoma State, kind of off our radar over the past couple of years, but I think it's time to put them back on. is a team to almost pay attention to every week now.
I'd like to just add, I mentioned this before, but there's a lot of confidence that factors into college football. If you can get some easy games, which is why a lot of teams used to schedule just cupcakes before the playoff era, you get your confidence built, and you look at Iowa last year. Was Iowa the fourth best team in the country? Probably not, but by the time they got to like 8-0, 7-0, they felt super confident and they felt like they could play against anyone. And that showed when they played really tough against Michigan State. Not so much against Stanford, but the rest of the year they played great.
Yeah.
All right. So two more things before we get into lines. I want conference predictions and any playoff predictions you're willing to make from both of you. So we'll go conference by conference.
Okay.
I'm handing the Big Ten to Ohio State. What do you think?
I'm going to go with Michigan.
Ooh. Ryan?
Ohio State.
Okay, yeah, I'm not ready to make the leap to Michigan. They're going to have to prove it on the field for me.
I just hate Ohio State. I mean, you guys can go ahead and do what you got to do, but I'm going to be here recorded on week one saying I picked them to lose either way. So come on, let's move it on.
All right, Big 12. I'm going to go with Oklahoma, the favorite.
Oklahoma State.
TCU.
Ooh. All right, remember that one for the end of the year. All right, the SEC. I'm riding this favorite bandwagon. I'm going Alabama again.
Alabama.
LSU.
I would love to pick a different team, but Alabama just keeps on winning, and Nick Saban's not going anywhere. He's still as psycho as ever, so I think you got to keep picking them.
Cam Cameron made Joe Flacco a Super Bowl MVP in 3 years. If he can't turn one of those five-star guys at LSU into competence, then he should be hung. I think Cam Cameron has a shot this year to actually...
That was a hot take on Take the Points.
That's a very hot take.
Here.
Advocating murder of LSU quarterbacks. Here's my hot take, is LSU hasn't had a good quarterback in a long time, and they still don't have one right now. And it's going to be their downfall, just like it's been the last 7 years or so.
Okay.
That's more of a cold take. I make that take every year. But I am looking forward to watching LSU. All right, guys, out west.
Ooh. I'm going to go with UCLA.
Spill it.
I think it's going to be probably Stanford over UCLA in the title game.
All right, I'm picking Stanford. I am iffy about their quarterback, but I like McCaffrey. I think he's the most exciting player since Reggie Bush, and I think he's going to have another banner year. All right, and the ACC.
Florida State.
Florida State.
All right, I'm picking Florida State as well.
Uh-oh, look at all three of us.
All right, now I want some playoff predictions. I want you to be bold. I want to see what you got. I think I've got a semi-bold playoff prediction. I'm picking two teams from the same conference. But I'm going to let you guys go first. Ryan, you're up.
All right. I'm going to go with Fiesta Bowl. What's that?
Just pick your final four.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Just pick the four.
Okay, the four, I am going to go really hot takes. And I'm going to go LSU, Stanford, Florida State, and Houston.
Wow.
That is the first on extreme fire take of Take the Points year four. All right, final four from Dan. Alabama, Florida State, Michigan, LSU.
Wow. So you've got the two SEC teams in there.
Yeah.
I'm going slightly different. I've got... now I don't know who my fourth team is going to be. I got Alabama 1, Florida State 2. I like Clemson at 3. And then I think Florida State and Clemson each come away with one loss and both get in. And then for that last spot, you're looking at like Oklahoma, Ohio State, or Stanford. I'm going to say, I really don't want to pick Ohio State, but their schedule is the nicest. I'm going to go, fuck them. Fuck Ohio State. I'm going Stanford, four spot.
Good for you.
Just out of spite.
Finally.
All right, so there you have it, folks. You can listen back to this podcast at the end of the year and tell us how wrong we were about everything. When you look and it's like Florida, Pitt,
Louisville,
USC, Louisville, yeah.
Baylor.
Boise State.
Baylor, Oregon, Oklahoma State, Clemson. We'd be like, fuck, why we stick to our guns? We always know this.
All right, guys. So it's time to get into the most important part of the show, the line breakdown, the gambling. But first, Dan, every year, we're now in our fourth year of doing this podcast, and every year you kick off the first week podcast with a little gambling tips. You know, what do you look for when you're gambling on college football? And especially in week one, when we don't really know anything about any of these teams, how do you bet on this week specifically?
Okay, yes, this is a yearly tradition. This is how you can evaluate college football games outside of just numbers with average points and run defense and all the technical stuff. This is the kind of stuff that we kind of, you know, look at. We have full-time jobs, and wives and kids and girlfriends, and we live all over the country, and, you know, we're having a lot of fun with this. So it's fun to just look at a game and go, wait a minute, I've seen this before. So, which we say more than ever, it just comes with years and years of experience.
Oh, yeah. By the way, don't take our advice seriously. Like, I've heard people will tweet me and email me like, oh, I placed, you know, a $50 bet on Tennessee because you said it and I lost. And I'm like, well, that was very stupid of you. You should never have listened to me.
Well, it's a coin flip. It is Vegas. This is how these things work.
That was an example because I would never pick Tennessee.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, going back to how to look at these games and kind of have some fun with them. First thing is if you are a person who's really into the NFL, look and find out where these guys in the NFL played their college football at. And look kind of where they're playing, you know, like, I mean, obviously, like in college. So, like, if you have a bunch of players, like for instance, like we were talking about Georgia and Florida, they're all in the NFL. If they're playing a team and it's an evenish point spread, go with the team who has the more natural talent, which is SEC schools and, you know, some like, you know, normal powerhouses, Ohio State, Notre Dame and stuff like that. Two, head coaches. Unlike the NFL, where I think most of it's based on player strengths and coordinators, college is really dictated by the head coach. And look for a coach who has been moved around a couple times because of X, Y, and Z reason, and look for them to be on the road in a bad spot. And you'll see it all the time. Like we were talking about our friend Mark Richt. We've seen countless examples of him like winning a huge game against Florida and the next week playing against Vandy on the road, laying 13, and they've never covered that game ever. You know, stuff like that. So
a lot of hot takes this year, Dan. Mark Richt's going home. He's going to win a lot of games with Miami. That's your next rule is whatever they say on ESPN, you should just, you're better off doing the opposite.
Yeah, they're
except unless it's Phil Steele or Paul Feinbaum.
Yes.
The rest of the guys on ESPN have no clue what they're talking about.
Yeah, you're pretty much right on there. So, you know, it's kind of stuff like that, and it's stuff we'll talk about throughout the year when these situations pop up. Which they will as we pick the lines here in a couple minutes. But as for betting week one, go with teams who have experience coming back in key positions, especially the quarterback position. It's really important week one, unless you're an absolute powerhouse program where all your quarterbacks are 4- and 5-star guys. Look for quarterbacks coming back and look for traditional powerhouses that usually roll early. So, yeah, have some fun with it. Lay a lot of points the first couple of weeks, and, you know, it's really painful, but get it out of your system, then start taking some underdogs. You'll be all right.
All right, let's jump into the line. So we're recording this. It is 8:49 p.m., Thursday, September 1st, as we record. So quick score check. Appalachian State up 13-3 on Tennessee approaching halftime, 4 minutes left in the second. So Tennessee is a 21.5-point favorite. I would have told you to pick App State if we had recorded this yesterday. I know that's easy to say now, but there you go. Louisville up 49-0 over Charlotte. A couple other games. I don't think these have started yet, but South Carolina plus 4.5 at Vandy. Dan, I wanted to say a brief thing here. So there's the podcast Serial, which sort of jumped podcasting into the limelight. Not only jumped it into the limelight and made podcasting a more popular medium, but what's his name? Adnan? I can't remember his name. Again, sleep deprivation. But the guy that Serial focused on is now getting a new trial. And then there's that Making a Murderer show on Netflix, and that guy's getting a new trial. So now that we realize that, like, new media and podcasts, et cetera, can do social good, I feel like in year four of Take the Points, it's our time to step up and do some social good and help out not just the state of South Carolina, but perhaps the whole South, perhaps all of America, fulfill our lifelong destiny to finally end Will Muschamp's career once and for all.
It has to end.
It needs to end. He hasn't coached a game, and he is a 4.5-point underdog at Vanderbilt.
Yes.
South Carolina, listen, I know technically you haven't even played yet. It's never too early to just fire him.
They are not going to win tonight, and they're going to lose. And I mean, it's going to be a long year. South Carolina is going back to being the laughingstock of the SEC. Here it comes. This is going to be epic failure. Get ready for your popcorn.
Who's next after you fail with Will Muschamp? I mean, where do you go from there?
Spurrier's son.
Maybe like Art Briles? I mean, how can you embarrass the program more?
Lame Kiffin.
Maybe, what's his name?
Cam Cameron.
The young Paterno? Jay Paterno?
Joe Paterno?
Anyway, South Carolina... Get your act together. It just fire him. The season is lost anyway. Move on.
True.
And you'll thank me later. The last big game today, already in progress. Of course, not good enough to make the ESPN app, so I don't know what the score is, but the hometown UConn Huskies hosting the Maine Black Bears over at the Rent, right down the street from my house.
You gotta be careful with those Maine Black Bears. Those guys drink a lot of beer. And they could be up for a fight at any time. So UConn might have their hands full with the Black Bears. Which is funny. This team played in a fucking Fiesta Bowl not too recently. And they're going to be in a dogfight.
It didn't happen, Dan. I told you that the Fiesta Bowl of 09 was a mass peyote hallucination that all of us had at the same time.
That was my one chance to party for UConn football and I didn't go. And I'll never have that chance ever again.
It didn't happen.
2009. Ah, you'll haunt me.
It was like the Macarena. We all sort of just imagined it all at one time, and now we'll just pretend that never happened.
I like it.
All right, Friday night, September 2nd. A few games. You tell me if you have any interest in these two. Colorado State plus 8.5 against Colorado at a neutral site. I mentioned that because it's a rivalry game. Possibly want to take the points there. And then Kansas State. Give it up for Bill Snyder going out to Stanford. They're a 14.5-point underdog. And just kudos for taking on one of the best teams week one.
I don't think that's high enough.
You don't think Bill Snyder will keep it close?
Not yet. Like, he's good at a home game with like a windy, cold Kansas morning, like an 11 a.m. start, you know, like not on the road week one when it's going to be 80 degrees and sunny. So. Actually, I'm going to for sure bet Stanford.
It should be at least 3 scores.
Bill Snyder is the king of the September Thursday night 50-degree game.
Absolutely. Thursday night, home against one of the traditional high-powered offenses. He'll hold him to 23 points.
All right, so we'll revisit both of those teams later in the season. One more game tomorrow, another barn burner. This one is off the board /... never even considered to be on the board. The Colgate Raiders come to the Dome and take on the Cuse, our hometown team. For you new listeners, the three of us are all from Syracuse originally.
No, I'm not.
Never happened. Just like the 09 Fiesta Bowl, your time in Syracuse never happened.
I'm from Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh via Skinny Atlas. That's all I'm going to say about that.
You're from Pittsburgh with a brief 22-year stopover in Syracuse.
I consider it shorter than that. Time is a state of mind.
Spill it. What would the line be if there were a line? And will Syracuse look good / be any good this season?
No.
That's the line. The line is just no in capital letters.
Yeah, so there should not be a line.
No, minus 110.
I don't know. I'm anxious to see what this new coach does. I will say, for the first time in a while, I'm actually pretty excited to see what he does, because this guy has done nothing but be top three in the country in passing game every place he's coached. From an assistant at Baylor, he was there with RG3. Then he coached Jimmy Garoppolo at Eastern Illinois. He's in the NFL now. And then Bowling Green last year, as we know from our MACtion, we love betting those MAC games way over. Bowling Green putting up like 47 a game. I'm anxious to see if he can do that in the Dome. We'll see.
Yeah, it should be interesting. Dino Babers is a very good coach. Cuse really doesn't have the talent right now, but give him a couple years. I think they'll at least be trending in the right direction, which is all you can ask for if you're a Syracuse fan. By the way, fellas, I talked to some of our Syracuse friends, and season tickets are now up to $110, up from just $80 like 5 years ago. That's for six games. They used to be $80, the price of one bad Penn State game, like Penn State versus Temple. Now they are the price of one good Penn State game, like Penn State Michigan.
Bad. Very bad.
It's good stuff. All right, let's get into the Saturday games. These are the ones we'll be doing heavy action on. Actually, let's not, because Dan is a question.
Score update for listeners at home to have a good laugh. UConn is in a dogfight, 7-7 third quarter.
Ooh.
Feel the excitement. Can you feel the excitement from your house?
Oh, I can hear the roars. Actually, I can't hear any of the roars.
There are no roars.
I can hear the swooning over handsome Bob Diaco, but I cannot hear roars of excitement for the team.
Mid-third, sevens, not good.
So there's a thing called Brewfest that they do at Rentschler Field. I'm wondering what will have a greater turnout, Brewfest or like week three UConn game after they're like 1-1?
It's Brewfest. Everybody knows that.
All right. Saturday games. Oh, we'll talk a lot more about UConn this year, but I'll leave them alone. Hopefully they can at least beat the main Black Bears.
Well, we'll keep you updated here on Take the Points.
That's never a given. I was there as they eked out a win over FCS powerhouse Villanova last year in the first game. I think it was like 17-16.
Big game.
I managed to get into the season ticket holder section where the only like seven people who cared were sitting. They were very excited when UConn scored that, you know, big touchdown to go up at the end.
It's literally unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Villanova. All right, Saturday. A couple Big Ten games. You've got Hawaii plus 40.5 at Michigan. Bowling Green plus 28 at Ohio State. Now JT Barrett officially taking over the team. Any thoughts on either of those guys?
I watched a little bit of the Hawaii-Cal game. Hawaii has zero defense whatsoever. Watched Michigan win that game like 38-0 and not cover, though.
Yeah, how did Hawaii already play on like Tuesday and now they've got to be in Michigan?
Because they're like not having a football team at this point, so they're just like, get on a plane. You got to show up. We'll give the school $1 million, build a library, big deal. So it's really no big deal. They're fine.
First big game of the week, Oklahoma minus 11.5 points versus Houston on a neutral field, over under 69. These are Both of these teams were ranked in the top 10 in scoring offense last year. So you'd be tempted to take the over-under, but that is pretty high.
Yeah, that is a lot of points. It's really tough. This is a tough game. This, you know, everyone wants to bet Houston in the spot, and obviously if I do bet this game, I will take the points, but this could be a game where Oklahoma has everything in line and wins by 14. It's very possible. Or Oklahoma can lose outright. Like, this is a tough game to bet all the way around. This isn't a week one game where there's a lot of good angles, but Ryan might like it a little bit more than me.
Well, Ryan did have Houston in his playoff, so I think they're going to have to go undefeated, right, to make that playoff?
Yeah, and I think that push starts Saturday morning early. I just like Houston. I think their quarterback is awesome. They always have a ton of receivers. They're actually starting to put together a heck of a defense. They were, I think, eighth in the country in takeaways last year, and our turnover differential, which is a huge, huge, huge factor, because I think Baker Mayfield has a tendency to get a little cocky and maybe force a few plays that he doesn't need to force. And I just think Houston has one of the most advantageous defenses in the country. And I just think they have a shot to win. We saw what Harriman's can do with time to prepare. He absolutely dismantled Florida State in a bowl game. When he has time to get prepared, I just think he's a good coach. And any listeners of Take the Points would know, I think Bob Stoops is a big pile of dog shit. So there we go.
Moving on.
So I think I brought this up last year on the podcast, but during the, was it Clemson, Oklahoma, when Oklahoma lost by 20 points, Spillett sent a group text to us that just said Bob Stoops and then had a poop emoji. Yep. Still one of my favorite text messages of all time.
That was a good one.
Yeah, it's on auto dial. It's on speed dial, that text these days.
I think Oklahoma wins this game, and I think they do it with a heavy dose of Samaje Perine, not scoring nearly as many points as people think. I think the game goes under. I do think 12 points is a little too much to ask, and I think Houston will keep it pretty close. I'm looking at like a late Oklahoma score to go up maybe 9 or 10 and win the game. But I'm thinking a really competitive game up until the very end. So that's my pick. I'm going to stay away, I think, gambling.
Me too.
All right, guys, speed round. We'll alternate on this.
Bring it.
Danny P., this one's for you.
Good.
The new Josh Heupel era of Missouri starts as 10-point underdogs against your man Dana Holgorsen of West Virginia. Dana Holgorsen on the hot seat.
Feeling hot, running hot, sweating in the hills of West Virginia, covering the 10. Take West Virginia.
All right. Spill it. Boise State, the other non-Power 5 team that people think has a chance at the New Year's 6 or maybe playoff, they visit UL Lafayette, one of our favorite teams.
Yeah.
Minus 20.
That's a lot of points. I do like Boise. That's a tough place to go down to. Lafayette's underwater still.
Yeah.
That's just a tough thing to ask. I think Boise wins. I think they win by about 10 or 13. I don't think they cover.
All right, Danny P. Rutgers and their program falling apart. 26.5-point underdogs at number 14-ranked Washington. Seems like Washington had a lot of buzz earlier, but now people have cooled a little bit.
That game's a stay away.
Spill it. Miami of Ohio plus 27.5 at Iowa. You think Iowa can relive the magic of last year?
No.
All right, moving along. All right, here are two games. Dan, you want to talk about these. We got SMU at North Texas, and we got UNLV at Jackson State. Gambling opportunities.
I got two hot under-the-radar games. First of all, I'm going to start with the UNLV game. UNLV is playing at home Friday night tonight, or no, tomorrow night, yes, against Jackson State. UNLV is currently a 39.5-point favorite. They should never be a 39.5-point favorite against any non-high school football team. That includes Arena League, CFL, like a amateur semi-pro league with like 35-year-old guys out of shape that they'd still beat them down. If your sports book offers it, just throw a little bit on Jackson State for me. Like this is a pretty good spot. Okay, so that's the first one. Two, SMU on the road at North Texas laying 10 points. SMU has been outscored by an average of 46-17 in 11 road games the last 2 years. Laying 10 at North Texas, awful idea.
See, that's the kind of rare gambling opportunity you get here on the Take the Points podcast. You won't hear a lot of analysis of SMU at North Texas on Fox Sports, you know?
They are the worst road team in college football, and they're laying more than 10 points to a team in state who's like played in a couple of bowl games, so they're like an average, team with some talent. So I'm taking the 10 and I'm taking Jackson State. In fact, I'm gonna parlay both of them as soon as we're done. It's gonna be a really fun bet.
All right, so next game, new listeners of this podcast, we have a few what we call the hometown teams, teams that we grew up with or liked, or teams like Baylor that we liked for no reason whatsoever. And you'll notice if you listen week to week, we cover these same teams every week, even when they're terrible. That brings me to our next game, Kent State plus 22 at Penn State. We all grew up Penn State fans. Dan jumped ship long ago. Spillett and I are, I guess, hanging on by our fingertips. I can't speak for you, Spillett. I'm
No.
trying, but it's, with each passing mediocre year, it becomes tougher and tougher.
There's no point. There's just no point. Sorry.
So I've got some notes here, and then Spillett, you can break this one down. But the sanctions are over. Obviously, you can still feel the after effects of those sanctions, but technically, they're over. Penn State lost their offensive coordinator. Well, he was fired, but they also.
Continue.
Again, when you have Christian Hackenberg and you average like 4 points a game, you got to go in another direction. So they've got.
They
It's
lost.
interesting. They got their new offensive coordinator is a guy named Joe Moorhead, who was the head coach at Fordham. So he went head coach to OC, obviously a better program, but you still don't see that often. Christian Hackenberg is gone. He's replaced by a guy named Trace McSorley, who is, I'm pretty sure, either a NASCAR driver or a country music singer.
Marty McSorley.
Or the son of Marty McSorley is correct.
Saquon Barkley's back. He's good. They got Godwin and Hamilton returning at wide receiver, a pretty good combo. They have some talent. The offensive line has improved, by which I mean they were the worst offensive line I've ever seen in my life, hitting rock bottom against Temple, and now they're just regular bad. But for some reason, the offensive line coach went to Auburn, even though he had the worst offensive line I've ever seen in my life. So if you're an Auburn fan, enjoy that one. Bob Shoop, as I mentioned, is gone. He is down to Tennessee. There you have a their linebacker coach has taken over. His name's Brent Pry. They lost Nassib, they lost Zettel, they lost a bunch on the defense. They're very thin. It's a weird thing. Penn State's season win total over under is 7, but they should be favored in 8 games this season.
Which means probably choke two, and then they'll win one they're not supposed to, and they'll push it seven.
Yeah, so that is it's basically like Vegas
No.
knows they're going to choke away a game to like Indiana or Illinois, which
Yep.
is correct.
Yes, it is.
So and then my last note, just announced earlier today, Penn State has announced they will honor Joe Paterno before the Temple game in week 3.
Get your bets in now on Temple money line. This the whole stadium's gonna catch on fire.
I saw a good comment online that said they'll put up a new statue of Joe Pa, but he'll be looking in the other direction from the stadium.
Oh God, that will be the last day you're a Penn State fan. Mark that down. Circle your calendar. You get ready to throw all your shit out. It's time.
I can't do it. I mean, I understand the kids who play there and the people who go to the school and the new coaching staff are not to blame for what happened. But the fact that the school won't let this thing go, that they keep trying to honor Joe Pa, I mean, especially it's only been 5 years. Like, I see if they want to try to sneak this in like 2037, but they're making it impossible for me, who I'm not an alumni. I was just a fan. It's really tough. It's really tough, Dan. We're going to check in week four and still, we'll do a running feature called Is Tom Still On Board?
Sounds good. I'll check it.
And week four is the critical week. So, does anyone even care to make a pick in this game?
Nope.
Let's move along. Penn State, they're in danger. I wouldn't lay 22 with them all season. UCLA +3 at Texas A&M, over under 53.5. Kevin Sumlin on the hot seat.
We've reached our first Dan P. lock of the week. First one of the all year right here, folks. Over 53 is your lock of the week. Josh Rosen is the cockiest kid there is, but doesn't mean he's not talented. Sumlin has a track record of winning these week one games, usually in a blowout. If you remember, Kenny Trill came onto the scene in this game. Other big performances. Look for the over to come in this game. Yeah, love that.
A&M has a pattern of having QBs be really good for like 2 weeks before they fade off. But their new QB is Trevor Knight of Oklahoma, who already had his like 3 weeks of being good stint before trailing off. So does he get a second like 2 weeks of being good, or does it, you know, is it a cumulative thing?
It's impossible to say.
Hot take. Love the over. Trevor Knight with Christian Kirk will be an awesome combination this year. They do have the guy who is considered the top defensive player in all of college football at A&M, defensive end Miles Garrett. Potentially the number one non-quarterback pick in the draft this upcoming year. So, love the over in this game. Rosen, super cocky, hot tub in his dorm room. Here's the best part about him. As a freshman, Jim Mora does not allow freshmen to talk to the media. He is now free to speak to the LA media. Watch out. This is going to be fun.
So I love Josh Rosen actually came out and he was like, listen, I'm getting a bad rap. People say I have a hot tub in my dorm room. It's not a hot tub. It's just a kiddie pool, which somehow is supposed to be better, having a kiddie pool in your dorm room.
It's fine. Don't worry.
With three blondes from UCLA, it's fine.
Yeah, I think at what point does the kiddie pool become the hot tub? I think it's around two or three girls in there with you.
Correct.
That's when it transforms. All right, gentlemen, we got a few big games to get into, but first, I've put together something that I'm calling the pop culture speed round. I'm going to throw out some things that are happening in pop culture, and either of you can take it. I just want the first thing that comes to your head, as short an answer or as long an answer as you want. All right. Ryan Lochte.
Complete idiot.
Spill it.
Upstate idiot.
All right. Tim Tebow playing baseball.
Waste of everybody's time.
Love it. He can do no wrong.
The world's first identical twin dogs discovered.
Prefer cats.
Erroneous.
Gene Wilder, a.k.a. Willy Wonka, dies.
Underrated. Blazing Saddles.
Super underrated. Young Frankenstein is so good. My dad showed me that so many times growing up. It's so good.
No disrespect to Gene Wilder as an actor. He's very good. Willy Wonka is a pedophile. I want you all to go back and watch that movie.
Eh.
Okay. Adults who use Snapchat.
Acceptable yet unacceptable.
Same.
Colin Kaepernick.
Complete idiot.
Irrelevant. He'll be out of the league in a year. By the end of the year.
The Edward Snowden movie.
Ooh, interested.
Not.
This one's for you, Spillet. The Buffalo Bills 2016 prospects.
Dumpster fire.
All right. I got a few more. We'll save them for the end.
That's good.
Now we move along to a very big game. We got LSU minus 11 versus Wisconsin on a quote-unquote neutral site. Of course, that neutral site is Lambeau Field, which is not going to be very neutral. We also have a extremely low over-under of 44 and a half.
That's a good NFL over-under right there. I like that.
Even for two college teams that run the ball and play a lot of defense, that seems very, very low.
Agree. So maybe looking it over in that game. That's pretty smart. See, I like that.
Spill it, you got LSU in the playoff, or Dan, you have LSU in the playoff, both of you. So is it fair to say that they'll come out and dominate in this game?
Not right off the bat, but they'll wear them down eventually, and they should win pretty easily. I'll definitely be laying the points.
Yep, they'll win, they'll cover. Fournette.
Fournette, too much. Fresh as hell, ready to murder everybody.
You know, I was looking at the season win total over-unders. Most of them are right around where you'd expect, but LSU, theirs is over under 10. And with all due respect to you guys thinking LSU will make the playoff, I've been looking at their schedule. So you've got Wisconsin, you've got Mississippi State, then you have Bama, Ole Miss, Arkansas in back-to-back weeks. They also have to play at the Swamp. And of course, you know, it's an SEC schedule. If they lose two games this season, you push. If they lose three, you win that bet. I don't think they have a quarterback. I think you're pretty safe on that bet for at least a push.
Hard to say. Les Miles' job's probably on the line again.
I don't know if he can be fired. They tried last year and he basically gave him the finger and just kept playing. He was like George Costanza, where he just kept showing up to work in that one episode.
Actually happened in real life last year. You're right, but it's okay. Mad Hatter's been known to, like, have that weird year and then the next year just be a machine. So I think it's time they're going to open the offense up this year. I really believe so.
All right, North Carolina with a new quarterback plus 2.5 at Georgia with a new coach. I say stay away from this one, but I welcome differing opinions.
Two insanely loaded teams always. North Carolina is the biggest underachiever in college football almost every single year. An absurd amount of talent in almost every position has went to the NFL for North Carolina. Really, we can almost make a full NFL team that's sick out of North Carolina. No one even knows. But for some reason, they cannot play together. I don't know if they all hate each other, or the coaches, or the basketball complex going on there. They're always a train wreck. So Kirby Smart, take Georgia.
All right, we don't have to pick this game, but I just want to note that Florida has decided to kick off their season by scheduling the very tough UMass.
That's a smart move. The Minutemen, they're going to come in there with Marcus Camby and Lou Rowe, and you got to be ready for that low post presence and see what's going on.
Clemson, minus 8 at Auburn. So, Danny, these are two of your favorite teams from the last few years. You were big on the Auburn bandwagon a few years ago, and it crashed and burned the last couple of years in the Will Muschamp era. But now he's gone. They've replaced him with a competent person. But Clemson, meanwhile, returns a ton of talent. They have most of the guys they had last year, at least on offense. Plus, they add Mike Williams, who was injured, who was their best receiver. They lost some guys on D. I don't know. I mean, I think Clemson will come into this game still kicking the way they were at the end of last season. But Auburn should be much improved.
Auburn's in trouble. I think Clemson's going to lose the game, but this isn't the one. I think they're going to hammer Auburn as much as that sucks. And I, but it's sick because I think I'm still going to root for Auburn in the game, but I don't like it. I would probably just take the over if anything, but yeah, have some fun with that one.
Take the over. Love the over.
Over under is 64, which, you know, as we say many times, you can't take the under.
Cannot.
No way.
All right. We're going out west. Spill it. Take this one. BYU minus one at your hometown team of Arizona. Actually, your hometown team is Arizona State, but this is close enough.
Yeah, and that game's here, actually, at University of Phoenix Stadium.
Oh, there you go. I was right by accident.
Yeah, so it's hometown game for Dan. And yeah, I like BYU actually a little bit. I probably would stay away from this game. I just think Chucky Keaton, is he still there? It's like 9 years or something. Like,
it's only his sophomore year. He's got a lot of eligibility.
Chuck, no. See, Keaton, you're thinking of Chucky Keaton from Utah State. Who you're thinking of is 14th year starter Taysom Hill.
That's the guy. Yeah, it's the same thing. These guys have been there forever. That does factor into week one. I don't know much about what's Rich Rod's going on down there, but Arizona will always be a basketball school first. I would stay away, but if I had to take something, I think BYU.
I do like BYU. I do think Taysom Hill, it's got to be at least like 50-50 that he's out of the game by the second quarter.
Yeah.
I really like their backup. I actually think, with respect to the 36-year-old Taysom Hill, who's got loads of experience, I think they should just go with Mangum, the backup. I really like him. I think they win more games with him.
They've both been there for 9 years.
They're all 28.
They have a combined 14 to 15 years experience.
They got 5 master's degrees.
Yeah, they have a hot tub in their dorm because they actually just own a house there. It was a better investment for them to just buy.
Yeah,
you know, if you're going to be there like 7 years, you might as well just buy.
Oh boy.
3 big games left. We'll just go in a chronological order. The USC Trojans take on the Alabama Crimson Tide. Alabama's a 12.5-point favorite, over under 52.5. I feel like we go through this every year. Alabama schedules somebody, whether it's Michigan, I think they played Wisconsin, they played Penn State back when Penn State was better. You think it's going to be competitive, and Bama just wears them down. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. The O-line and the running backs just pound them, and they end up winning by like 20 points in the fourth quarter. It's a close game at halftime, and then it's a runaway by Bama. Is there any reason to think that this year will be different?
No. As much as I would love to take USC, and I know how big this game is for USC. I know a lot of USC fans are so excited for this. But this is what Alabama does. It doesn't matter who the players are. They just execute to the highest level. So as much as I would love to take USC, can't do it. It's a total stay away from me. I'll just watch it. I'll cook on the grill and enjoy the game.
Spill it.
Spill it is having technical difficulties and will be back momentarily.
Oh. I'm not going to ask. Yeah, Spill It disappeared from the Skype camera. Let's see. So Cooper Bateman, Blake Barnett, or the Alabama. I feel like Alabama just makes up these names of these quarterbacks. It's like, what sounds like a guy who'd be in a yacht club in Alabama?
I saw this kid on the that Elite 11 on ESPN. This kid's got a monster arm. He's a big kid. He can play.
Which one is that? Cooper Bateman or Blake Barnett?
Blake Barnett.
Okay.
Real deal.
Yeah, Bateman's been there. I think he was the backup last year and he took a few snaps. My feeling is Blake Barnett's probably the more raw, talented one, but we'll see how that develops.
Who was better than Rosen at the Elite 11 camp?
Ooh. Well, if he's better than Josh Rosen, then we can pretty much just give Alabama the title now.
Yeah.
So that's not going to be fun.
Nope.
All right. Moving along to Sunday, September 4th, we've got Notre Dame. I think sneakily talented and underrated this year at 10. I think they have playoff caliber talent. They're a 4-point favorite at Texas. Chaz Strong on the hot seat. Tom Herman's breathing down his neck for that job. I feel like Texas people almost want Chaz Strong to do poorly so they can get him out and get Tom Herman in. But I'm not sure. Notre Dame should be favored by like 10 points in this game. I say lay it, but I will accept alternate opinions.
Well, Tom, the thing about that is... Oh!
Oh!
Our first trap of the week, folks.
Folks, this is Dan P's newest, hottest segment, the Trap of the Week, featuring songs that I can barely hear and wouldn't recognize anyway. There it is. So who is the trap artist of the week this week?
This week we had Future featuring Drake, Where You At, a.k.a. Where Your Ass Was At, which is just a good question to ask anybody for any different reason. It's just a way of saying, where were you at or how have you been? But just it's a different way. So that kind of applies to this game. This is the Charlie Strong game. I really think this is the game. Notre Dame has 6 suspended players due to their knucklehead offseason. This is how karma repays itself. It's going to be hot as fuck in Austin, Texas, 100 degrees. This is the game Charlie Strong has been planning for the last 6 months, going crazy. If he has any chance of lasting in Texas, he has to win this game. No excuses. No close loss. Flat-out win has to happen. They get Notre Dame with a little bit of a weird vibe rolling in there. They got players coming off of injury last year, suspensions, expectations, lower than they wanted to be ranked. Perfect storm for Notre Dame to blow a game and then have to focus and run the table, and they'll make that story up. But I like Texas. I'm going to bet them on the money line.
100% agree. Love Texas outright in this game. I follow many Texas alums on Twitter. They've all been at practice. They're raving about this true freshman quarterback. They're saying he's Johnny Manziel crossed with Colt McCoy. They say this kid is going to be the savior of Texas football, and I'm all in. I got the Longhorns winning this game outright. Revenge. Love it.
Okay. I'm glad you brought up quarterbacks, because this is, I think, what will separate the game. Each of these teams have 2 quarterbacks who are expected to play. Texas has Tyrone Swoops, who is good enough, but he'll be playing at like Jackson State next year. He does not fit in Charlie Strong's system. The freshman is definitely going to be the guy, but even if he plays, he is a freshman in his first game ever, and it's a big one. I don't think we can expect amazing things, but I think you got to play him. Notre Dame, on the other hand, has DeShone Kizer, who I think is the guy they should go with. But then they also have Malik Zaire, who's very good, but he was injured. The team gelled around Kizer. I think the coach that just picks a guy and goes with them is going to be better off, as opposed to the coach who tries to rotate or trying to suss it out during the game. So if it were me, I would go with Kizer for Notre Dame, and I'd go with the freshman for Texas. I think whoever makes the right decision there is probably at an advantage, but I'm laying the points with Notre Dame despite you guys. We'll see what happens.
I'll be texting you.
We'll see. Our first big disagreement. I think Notre Dame was a playoff caliber team before the last couple of weeks, where they've been have some fuckery. I've taken them out of the playoff on account of that. I still think they're a New Year's Six team. Texas, I don't know if they can get to like 8 wins. I think that's a successful season, but we'll see.
Yes, we will.
All right. 2 more pop culture speed round things I want to bring up. Number one, we had a 14-year-old boy in Ohio was chased by a knife-wielding man in a clown mask. And it is the second clown-related crime in Ohio this week.
Urban Meyer should stick to football.
All right. And then the last pop culture thing that I feel we need to mention this week is the Great New York State Fair currently happening.
A lot of great memories there. A lot of inappropriate t-shirts purchased by friends, or not purchased, won at dumb games. A lot of wine slushies, which is wine with ice in it, which really, really makes it sparkle. And a lot of weird concerts ranging from like the most laid back old hippie rock to some intense inappropriate hip hop and R&B. So it's a weird mix of people from all over the state. Some like, you know, half Canadian people from the North Country, they show up. You get the urban crowd will show up, and it's a weird mix. A lot of interesting memories. I will not be returning. Yep, that's all I gotta say.
I got one thing to say. The concerts are just a total crapshoot. I will say I am super impressed, because a good friend of Dan and I out here in Phoenix in June went to go see Brian Wilson doing the Pet Sounds tour and paid $90 for a ticket. Said the show was phenomenal. He just did the exact same show for free at the New York State Fair. My dad was there. He basically recorded half the show on his phone. So pretty impressed by that, that they got Brian Wilson to do the Pet Sounds tour at a free concert when our friends just paid $90 7 weeks ago for it.
So I actually have a list of some of the bands playing the New York State Fair this year. This is not comprehensive, but I think it sums it up. You've got REO Speedwagon.
They're good.
Hall & Oates. Zac Brown Band.
No good.
Dave Matthews Band.
The worst.
Def Leppard.
They're, depends who's in the band still, but I mean, I like some of the stuff on Pyromania. Okay, keep going.
I remember Dan P. moment, I think, was sixth grade. You skipping out of school to go to Camillus Mall to buy the Pyromania album, or the Hysteria album, rather.
Hysteria, yep, that happened.
Disturbed. They will be down with the sickness after drinking some wine slushies.
Yep.
Breaking Benjamin. Fish, your favorite.
Yes.
Journey. Slipknot, your other favorite. Dierks Bentley, who I assume is country. His song is called Somewhere on a Beach. Rob Thomas.
Oh, no.
Snoop Dogg, Wiz Khalifa, Rob Zombie, Korn, ZZ Top, and Kesha.
It is the most wide variety of music possible. I've never seen anything like it.
That's pretty good, and just in terms of big name draws. I mean, when we were growing up, it was like Foreigner and then Boyz II Men.
Yep, that was
I saw Boyz II Men there in like 04. I think I saw them in like 98, 04, and like 09.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So Boyz II Men are my like third most seen band.
Oh, congratulations.
And I've paid a combined $0 for four shows.
There you go.
It's very interesting. Much more interesting is the Monday night game, the best game of the week, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Two like potential playoff teams and two probably top 10 worthy teams. Ole Miss versus Florida State on a neutral field. Florida State a 4.5-point favorite. And 57.5 over under. I really don't know what to think. Although I've picked Florida State into the playoff, I do think there is a chance they could actually lose this game and then run the table the rest of the time. Or they could, you know, eke this one out, or they could dominate. I really have no idea what to think.
That's an interesting game for a lot of reasons. It's not as important as people think. Either team can lose the game and still play in the Final Four because of who they have in front of them. So it's not the end of the world. But it will be a fun game. This is what we talked about in the beginning. Will Florida State's new freshman quarterback just walk in there and be just like Jameis? Or is he going to struggle? And if he's average to pretty good, that team is loaded. They're the best running back in the country. They have unbelievable defense. They'll hammer people if he's adequate. So, and on the other side of the ball, I mean, Ole Miss still has a lot of talent. I know they lost some to the NFL draft, but they still got a star quarterback and a high potent offense. And something just feels like this is a game that Florida State just win somehow, and they just keep handing the ball off in the second half, and Ole Miss gives up 7 yards a carry and can't stop it. Like, that's my personal read on this game, but I could be totally wrong. It's probably a stay away, but I know it's not going to be because it's the last game of the weekend. So I will bet this. Follow us on Twitter. We'll give you that info, and I'll definitely tweet some shit later on.
All right, Dan. So let's just be honest. So Notre Dame, Texas is the only game on Sunday. This is the only game on Monday. There's 100% chance we'll be betting on these.
100. I know. In theory, I shouldn't and go, well, there's X amount of college football games this year. There's no advantage here, but it's Labor Day and I'm off work. And I don't know about you, but I got nothing going on. So, yep, there you go. I'll probably just bet the over and start drinking or something.
Spill it.
All right. Since you guys covered the football game part of this, my hot take on this: You kind of touched on it earlier about the Bills season, so here's my take. Full circle. Rex Ryan, fired. Doug Whaley, fired. Tyrod Taylor, released. Buffalo drafts Chad Kelly, Jim Kelly's nephew. They hire Frank Reich to come in. Here we go, Buffalo 2017. Frank Reich and Chad Kelly, let's do this shit.
You're getting a slow golf clap for that. I thought you were going Jimbo Fisher as future Bills coach, which I would also be in favor of.
Yes.
But a return of the Mac should definitely be the, if they draft Chad Kelly, Return of the Mac is the official song of the 2017 Buffalo Bills.
Yep.
It's the only way for the Bills to break the curse. It's like it's the same bullshit this year. They're gonna go 7-9 and everybody knows it. Like, I'm sorry, guys.
If they won a Super Bowl with Jim Kelly's nephew, that'd be the greatest story ever. They have to find like a cousin of Thurman Thomas and like bring him in and find like Steve Tasker's nephew. Just get all relatives of that, early 90s team.
There we go. Looking forward to it.
All right,
Well,
so here's my hot take, and it's a burning hot, it's a Dana Holgorsen on 27 Red Bulls hot. Florida State, in my opinion, is the most talented team at every, unit. Or at least when you look at all their units overall, I think they're like top five or top 10 in the secondary, in the linebackers, D line, O line, tight ends, running back. I mean, they've got one of the two best. The only thing missing is quarterback. And there's some buzz around this freshman. I think similar to Alabama last year, he starts off a little slow. They win with Dalvin Cook. He develops by the end of the year. And ladies and gentlemen, your 2017 national champion, Florida State Seminoles. That's my prediction.
Well, that's a pretty hot take right there.
Beating Alabama, the defending champs, in the final game.
Wow, impressive.
So I'm gonna, with that in mind, I'm gonna start off and pick them to win against Ole Miss in a tight one.
Okay, there you go.
All right, guys, we are about
All
the
right.
time we usually wrap this up. Anything else to add?
No, enjoy the first weekend. Soak in the games. Just, don't go crazy. Don't invest half your bankroll or mortgage payment or child support money, whatever your situation is. It's week one. Have some fun with it. Be safe out there. A lot of idiots drinking and driving. We'll catch up week two.
All right, follow us on Twitter. I don't know. I'm the fake Tom Z. I don't know what you guys are off the top of my head.
At Kanye West.
Okay. And Ryan is at Real Donald J. Trump.
Yes.
Follow us all.
Mm-hmm.
This episode was a little football heavy, but we spend in other weeks a little more time talking about nonsense. So I hope if you're a new listener, you will continue to listen. Dan has one final thought, and then we're out of here.
Next week is the college football week two. That's really lame because NFL starts. There's only like two good games. Me and Ryan will be attending the Texas Tech Arizona State game next week. So we'll be talking about that one for sure. So enjoy. Looking forward to next week.
All right, take the points.net, iTunes, and now on Stitcher. Take the points, college football podcast. Bye, everybody.
Take the point. Take the point. Take
Peace.
the point. Take the
Yeah.
point. Take the 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 point, 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 take the point.